I wanted to continue with Perek Gimel Pasuk Dalet. Perek Gimel Pasuk Dalet, you have the Avadim of Achashverosh coming back to Mordechai every single day and prodding him to bow down to Haman. They don't seem to understand why he's not bowing down to Haman. And the pasuk says, "Va'yiba amr melev yom v'yom." Each and every day, they said to him, "V'leishama aleihem." Mordechai didn't listen to them. "V'yagidu l'Haman." So he told Haman, "Lo yasi am d'divrei Mordechai," to see if Mordechai's words would stand up. There's a problem with the sequence in the pasuk. First of all, they keep bugging him every day. The second segment of the pasuk is they told Haman, and then the pasuk says, "Why did they tell Haman? They want to see if Mordechai's words would stand up because Mordechai said he's a Jew." There seems to be a flow issue over here.
Why? It seems to go well.
Yeah, well, the last sentence that they want to see, Mordechai said he's a Jew, they want to see if Mordechai's words are going to stand up. What's the connection between your words standing up and being a Jew?
Everyone tests a Jew.
Right. And the whole pasuk is talking about it in the future tense. Hayam do divrei Mordechai. They want to see if Mordechai's words will stand up. By telling Haman, somehow they're going to determine what the future is going to be. That's the import of the words. They'll tell Haman, and then they'll see what the future is going to be. What Mordechai's destiny is going to be. There's something missing. So Miguel Stamer has a whole mahalach here, which we haven't encountered until now. They asked him, "Why aren't you bowing down? Everyone's bowing down." So Mordechai told them, he's basically, it could be told him above Maisa. It's not clear whether this was true or not, but this is what he told them. Mordechai told them, he says, "The Jews are very cautious about Achashverosh, he's much of us. We, the Jewish people, hold a position of high importance in the eyes of Achashverosh. We're Mamash's favorites. Achashverosh loves Jews. And being that he loves Jews and we're so chashev, we're so important in his eyes, so he would never dream of asking us to do anything that would violate our religion. Because Achashverosh respects our religion." Right. So, they didn't believe him. Achashverosh all of a sudden discovered religion. He likes the Jewish people. That's what the pasuk means was, they told Haman, because by telling Haman, that would start a process in motion that would be known to the authorities that Mordechai is breaking the law. Haman would tell Achashverosh, and they're going to see whether Mordechai's words will stand up. So it's not referring to his not bowing down. I mean, he's not bowing down. They see he's not bowing down.
Who says this?
The Megillah Star. It's referring to his words that he told them that the reason why he's not bowing down is because Achashverosh would never dream of asking Jews to bow down to Haman. It goes against the grain of their religion. And there's freedom of religion in Persia. Right.
Test to see if what?
So they're going to tell Haman in order to see if Mordechai was telling the truth. Hayam de Divrei Mordechai is not referring to his inaction, to his act of not bowing down. Well, an act of not bowing down. It's referring to his words, to his reasoning, to his basis for not bowing down. Achashverosh would never ask us to do something against the Jewish religion, which violates the tenets of the Jewish religion.
Why would he make up something?
Well, I don't know whether it was made up or not. I said it's good, we did have one. We had one of the pshatim before that Esther arranged for Mordechai to get a ptur. Mordechai was excused from it. So I'm not sure whether it was made up or not. Rabbeinus and Abishit says that it was true. So I really don't know whether it was made up or not. If it was made up, so that would go in the gedder that one is allowed to lie, the man of Shalom, if it's Darkei Shalom. It's definitely, that situation definitely applies over here. If you tell them the real reason why you're not bowing down, so then you're putting yourself in Sakana, you're putting Klal Yisrael in Sakana. We tell him it has nothing to do with Mordechai saying I don't have any lack of respect for the king's commandment. I don't mean to convey any disrespect to Haman. That's not my. It's a matter of personal. Is my moral position based on the tenets of my law. I mean, there's someone now, there's a Lubavitcher Chassid, who was just elected as a state representative of the state of New Hampshire, I think. And there was a woman's group to help him get elected. There was a feminist group to help him get elected. Why did they help him get elected? Initially, when he declared his candidacy, they were against it. Because it was known, or it was made known, that if he does get elected to the position, he won't shake hands with ladies. And that's sexist. That's discrimination. But then they met with him, and they heard his views. And when they found out that it was a religious position, it wasn't an anti-woman position. It was because of his morals and because of his principles. And did about turn and face. They did an about face. They did an about face. And he won. I think he won. If I'm not mistaken, I think he won by a few votes, like 10 votes or 100 votes, a very small margin. There's only 10,000 Jews in his district. It wasn't the Jewish vote that carried it. In New Hampshire.
That's weird.
So this is what Mordechai. You know, Mordechai, you're allowed to lie in order to save, in order to lamana shalom. See, I'm not. He doesn't mean any disrespect. It's a matter of principle. It's a matter of his religion. That's why.
Can I try something?
That's why. You could understand why Haman wanted to take revenge against all the Jewish people instead of Mordechai, and which is strange because all the Jews were bowing down to Haman. Mordechai didn't, but everyone else did. So why did they all have? Why did he kill them all? And that's the point, because Mordechai said he did it in the name of his religion. See, that turned out to be a dangerous thing. He says, no, it's not a personal dislike, it's because of my religion. So I said, okay, so it's because of your religion, we'll wipe out the religion. And the way to wipe out the religion is to wipe out all those that follow it. So he thought by saying this, he was avoiding this catastrophic outcome. But it turned around, and of course that's Ashkocha, because Hashem wanted the Jewish people to see that their lives are hanging by a thread. Let's go to Pasuk. Vayar Haman, and Haman saw. So in the first Pasuk, he heard. Now he saw. Kien Mordechai Kareya Mishtakav. Like Mordechai is not bending his knees and he's not bowing down to him. The Targum again says that
in the future.
Kareya means the Avodah Zarah, Mishtakav means the Haman. That's how the Targum is pretty consistent. It's a double expression of bowing because there's two things to bow to. So Mordechai is not bowing down to the Avodah Zarah, he's not bowing to Haman. But Yimali Haman Chema. Haman was filled with anger. The anger filled him up. He was filled with anger. You know, so we discussed before that Haman wouldn't see it. You know, Haman refrained. Haman felt it was beneath his dignity to see, to witness, to admit to having seen that Mordechai didn't bow to him. That was in the previous pasuk. In this pasuk, Haman took more desperate measures, more drastic measures. The Vilna Gaon said that Haman had always approached Mordechai from a distance. Like, you know, he afforded him a wide berth. But he never got really close. It's not such a chutzpah. It's not such audacity. If Mordechai doesn't bow down, if Haman's not mamish atape, not actually close to him. And tell you the truth, he probably was a bit, you know, hesitant to get close to him because if he doesn't bow down from a distance, so it's not such a priestess. It doesn't denigrate him. It's not the denigration. It doesn't lower his covet. If he gets close and Mordechai doesn't bow down, he's really in trouble. But now, he saw that Mordechai wasn't bowing down, people spoke to him, and Haman could not tolerate this. The ultimate Bar Gaiva. So he came closer to Mordechai. The next time he passed by, he went that route. He went past right by Mordechai because he thought maybe the reason why Mordechai is not bowing down is because he thinks he can get away with it. Haman's far away. Maybe Haman doesn't see, or maybe Haman doesn't notice, or he's not going to bother himself to come over and tell him to bow down, so he can get away with it. But if he's mamish on top of him, he's there. So he'll have no choice. And he came close, and Mordechai didn't budge. So that's how the Vilna Gaon explains the beginning of the pasuk. Vayar Haman. Haman saw. The word Vayar that he saw means that he saw with a greater clarity because he was closer. He saw that Mordechai is not bowing down. Because when he used to pass by from a distance, he didn't see that Mordechai wasn't bowing down. Perhaps Mordechai thinks that he's escaping Haman's notice. But when he comes close and Mordechai doesn't bow down, so then he saw it. He really saw it. Then he saw it. It hit him. It hit him like a freight train. Halavai. It hit him like a freight train. He saw that Mordechai's not bowing down because he came close. And the Vilna Gaon explains, that's why it says, Vayimali Haman Chemi, he's filled with anger. Because until then, he wasn't filled with anger. And Mordechai doesn't notice him. Mordechai is in the middle of something. He doesn't see him. He's not right near him. So it's not a cause for him to come to anger. But now, this is mamish in your face. In your face, where you're already filled with anger. The Al-Sheikh is one of the Mefarshim that says that Haman had an Avodah Zarah attached to his begadim. So we said there were three pshatim, and where this Avodah Zarah was. Haman was the Avodah Zarah, it was on his clothing, or it was a separate statue. The Asher is one of those that holds that the Avodah Zarah was attached to his clothing. Haman came close, and Mordechai wouldn't bow down. So Haman thought it's because of the Avodah Zarah. The Asher says Haman removed the Avodah Zarah.
He
removed the Avodah Zarah from his clothing for the express purpose of removing any excuse Mordechai would have for not bowing down. And Mordechai still didn't bow down. So that's why Yimali Haman Chaim. He might have had an excuse before. Haman knows the Jews don't bow down to Avodah Zarah. He would have liked them to bow down to it. But to get angry at him for not bowing down to Avodah Zarah, it's not an insult to him. They don't bow down to Avodah Zarah. Even Haman knew that. When he removes Avodah Zarah and Mordechai doesn't bow down to it, that's a direct affront to his dignity. The Medrash, brought down in the Alchemy Amleis, fills us in on some details over here. When Haman came close, not only did Mordechai not bow down, the Medrash says that Mordechai didn't acknowledge his presence. He remained in a state of immobility. If someone walks by, you lift up your head, you move a little bit, you get out of the way, you do something, you shuckle. You don't bow down to someone, but you rise up, or you make some show of respect. And Mordechai remained in his place, and there was no movement from him. I mean, he acknowledged Haman like someone would acknowledge as a cockroach. Does a cockroach mean anything? Mamish. And this was a bizarre for Haman. He's been treated like a cockroach. And Mordechai didn't greet him. And the custom in those days was when somebody passed by, you greeted them. It's called Sheila Shalom. You inquire as to their peace. And you wish them well. Shalom Aleichem. Hashem Imachem. You greet people with a blessing. Nothing. And this was intolerable. Haman put on a play. He put on a spiel. And he walked close to Mordechai, and he leaned towards him as if Mordechai and him were conversing, just to keep up the appearances. Sort of reminds you of Hannah and her seven sons. That after the first six sons were killed, so then the king said, "I'll throw my ring down. Let the little kid pick it up. Something, just to escape with some measure of dignity." And of course, the child would not give him that. It's usher. One has to give up one's life even for things like that, even though it's not a vaydazar, because it looks like a vaydazar. Anyone that sees the kid will think he's bowing down to a vaydazar. So Haman was trying to preserve appearances. So Haman started saying to Mordechai, "Aleichem Shalom." Like Mordechai He makes believe as Mordecai just greet, you know. He greets over to Mordecai. He says, "Oh, oh yeah, lechem shalom." So then Mordecai spoke, because he's not giving him shalom. He quotes a pasuk in Yeshaya, it's in Perak Mokhes, and the pasuk says, "No hamon, ein shalom, amar Hashem l'rishayim, ein shalom, amar Hashem l'rishayim." There is no shalom, so says God to Rishayim. So that took care of that, you know. So I think Haman would have preferred Mordecai kept quiet. Knowing Mordecai, he probably translated it into Persian.
Because it says what?
Ein shalom amar Hashem la rishaim. That's the pasuk. That's how Mordecai responded to Haman's display, fake display of camaraderie.
The pasuk says,
"In shalom, amar, Hashem, Rishayim." For the wicked, God says, "There's no peace, no Haman. There's no shalom, no shalom, no peace."
This is from
Rishayim Memches. Tell me when you're ready, Yako. Pasuk Vav. Vayivis be'enav. It was like shameful or a disgrace in his eyes. L'shleach yad b'mordechai levado, to send his hand against Mordechai himself. It was contemptible. Contemptible. Ki yigid l'layasam Mordechai. They told him, the nation of Mordechai. Vayivakish Haman, and Haman sought Lahashmid is Kol Yehudim, to destroy all the Jews. Asher b'chol Malchus Achashverosh, like we said before, all the Jews were concentrated in the Malchus of Achashverosh. There was no Jews that lived outside the confines of the Malchus. Kama, I'm Mordecai, the nation of Mordecai. So there's a couple of things here in this pasuk. The Targum says it was like beneath him just to send out his hand against Mordecai alone, because Haman saw, it was known to Haman that Mordecai was descended from Yaakov Avinu, and Yaakov Avinu stole the firstborn from Esav, who was the ancestor of Haman. He took the Bechira from him. Besides taking the Bechira, he also took the Brachas from Yitzchak, so he stole two things. And the Jews, they're the nation of Mordechai, and Haman wanted to destroy them all. So the Targum is saying that this rivalry, the animosity between Mordecai and Haman, wasn't something that was recently developed. This had gone throughout all the ages. This is the ongoing rivalry between Yaakov and Esav. When Yaakov rises up, Esav is down. Esav is up, Yaakov is down. And that was the bracha that Yitzchak gave Esav. Yitzchak gave Esav a bracha. And when Yaakov is down, it means when you don't keep the Torah, so then you're going to be up. And Haman's up. And Yaakov is down. And it's time to wipe them all out.
Because Yaakov has the Bechira.
Stole the Bechira.
Yeah.
Unlawfully. Yeah. He stole the Brachas unlawfully. And Yaakov only has the right to keep those things. He has like a protection. His Geneva is protected if he keeps the Torah. But Yitzchak told Esav that if Yaakov doesn't keep the Torah, then these things aren't going to help him. He's going to fall. And Esav, or the descendants of Esav, are going to be able to put their foot on Yaakov's neck. The pasuk says, "Loim, meloim Amites." The one nation will always overpower the other nation. They'll never be both up or both down at the same time.
So the nation of Mordecai would seem that everyone's following Mordecai. Everyone's righteous or something.
Yeah, we didn't explain what our Mordecai is yet. You're right.
Twice two.
What?
I say right. Mordechai at the end.
Yeah, mm-hmm. good point. That's a good point. Before we go on to that point, I want to the source of the Targum is apparently from Gzeres Shava. Because it says Vayivez, the word Vayivez Be'enav, it was disgraceful, it was contemptible in the eyes of Haman to send his hand against Mordechai by himself. We find that word Vayivez concerning Esav as well. When Esav sold the Bechayra, it says Vayivez Esav as a Bechayra. Esav shamed the Bechayra. Now the descendants of Esav feel that Yaakov took advantage of Esav. Esav was starving, he was hungry, he was going to die. And Yaakov said, I'll give you something to eat, only if you sell me a Bechayra. There's a very, very, it's a striking parallel. That Esav was going to die, he didn't have food, Yaakov did have food. And Yaakov says, I will give you food if you give me the Bechayra, which basically means that Yaakov is on top of Esav. The Bechayra is like the father in the family. And the younger siblings are like his children. So that means that Yaakov demanded from Esav, the payment for keeping him alive is that Esav should be subservient to him. He should be an Eved. Does it sound familiar to you?
Mm-hmm.
Mordechai and Haman and the desert patrol. And Haman has no food and Mordechai has food. And Mordechai gave Haman food only on the condition that Haman would be his Eved. Vayibes. It happened twice. It happened to Esav. It happened to Haman. Vayivez. And the word the Torah used to describe the process of Vayivez. Haman is using the same word Vayivez because he's going to reverse the process. If Mordechai is his master, and if Yaakov is Esav's master, so how does the slave rid himself of the master? There's only one way. Get rid of the master. You familiar with the story of Hurdus? Hurdus was a slave. He was an Eved Kenani. He was a slave to the Malchi Chashmonaim, to the kings of the Hasmonean dynasty. And he killed them all out. And he usurped the kingdom. He became a king. The way to for a slave to there's two ways for a slave to be freed. It's for his masters to free him, and the other is for him to remove himself of his masters. So that's mamish striking. Esav basically sold himself as an Eved to Yaakov, and Haman actually sold himself as an Eved to Yaakov, all for food. Food is good. The Gemara Megillah asked the Kasha that you raised, why does it say Am Mordechai twice? It's the Gemara Megillah that he gimel on the base. Ki higidulei as Am Mordechai, that's referring to the nation of Israel. That's Pashup Shat, the first time. The second time, when it says Haman wanted to kill out all the Jews, Am Mordechai, the nation of Mordechai, over there, it would seem the words Am Mordechai are redundant because they told him Mordechai's nation. He wants to kill the Jews. So why do you have to say he wants to kill the Jews, the nation of Mordechai? We know that the Jews are the nation of Mordechai. So Gemara asks this question. And Gemara answers that the second time it says the words Am Mordechai, it's referring to a subgroup. It's referring to the Talmidei Chachamim. Haman wanted to kill out all the Yehudim. And he had a special hatred reserved for Am Mordechai, Mordechai's nation. Mordechai was a member of the Sanhedrin. Mordechai was a gadol. Am Mordechai is his fellow members, his fellow men, his nation, Mordechai's nation. It's a nation within a nation, the Talmidei Chachamim. Haman had reserved special hatred. Anshei Knesset Gdola, the Sanhedrin. He had special hatred for the nation of Mordechai, the Talmidei Chachamim.
Yeah, what is he talking about? Washkin just means a liquid. Soup is a liquid by definition.
Okay. Let's go on to Pasuk. Zion. Pasuk Zion. This is where we get the name of the Yamta from. Vayi b'chaydash harishayin. First month of Chaydash Nisan. The month of Nisan b'shnash shtem esrei l'melech ha-chashverish. The 12th year of the melech ha-chashverish. He pil poor hu ha-gayro. He cast a lot. It's a lot. The 12th year of Achashverosh's kingdom. He pil poor. He cast a lottery. Hu ha-gayrol. It's a lot. Lifnei Haman. And it took place in front of Haman. Miyayim liyayim. On each and every day. Mechadish lechadish. Each and every month. Shnei Masar. And it ended up on the 12th month. Hu chadish Adar. The month of Adar. That was what came out. He made a lottery, he cast a lottery to find out the best time to hatch his plot, and turned out an Adar. We just learned halachas recently in Shir about the Leisa of Leisa Einen. A person is not allowed to pre-practice be a Ma'einen. And a Ma'einen, according to the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch, is someone that he determines his path of action based on things he sees in the stars.
What's Shir?
Halacha Shir. Einin, the Shir, so with Einin is Ona. Ein Vav Nun Hei, and Ona is a moment. You know, call Eis Va'Ona. Ona is a moment. So this is what they were steeped in. Yohanan, he was going to destroy the Jewish people. He was going to use the anti-Kaichas. You can call them Kaichas of darkness, Kaichas of Tumma.
This is 5 years after Esther was queen.
Yes.
What was she doing the whole time?
It's not important. It's not, you know, the Megillah, the things that were included in the Megillah, each and every one of those things are integral to the Nes. It's not a chronicle of Persian history. It's not there. It's not important. But we know what Mordechai was doing the whole time. He was davening. Targum says he was Bashar Malach davening, so he davened for 5 years. It's a good assumption that Esther was also davening. Esther is the paradigm of tefillah. She's the one that says Keli Keli Lama Zavtani. Esther is a matzav of tefillah, and we'll see that. That's going to come out. It's going to figure very prominently in the future prakim. You'll see the tefillah of Esther. It's one of the themes of Purim that gets overlooked because of all the other mitzvahs hayyam, especially the mitzvah of Adla Yada. But one of the central themes to Purim is tefillah. I mean, the way Purim is now, which is, you know, totally unrecognizable from what it's meant in the time of Chazal, tefillah often gets overlooked. Halavai people should daven all the davenings, and daven them with tzibur, and daven them with kavana. But that Purim should be the yom tefillah, that's something which sadly gets overlooked. So tefillah, I would say it's tefillah was going on. There's a Targum Sheni on this pasuk that goes into the details of the lottery. I'm not going to explain it. For the main reason why I'm not going to explain it is because I don't understand it myself. So that's a bit of a technical problem. But I want to tell you, nonetheless, I want to tell you the Medrash.
Put down by the Targum Sheni.
This is the Targum Sheni. So it was the first month of Nisan, the 12th year of Achashverosh's reign. He cast a lottery, and a bas kol comes out from Shemayim. So that means that a bas kol from Shemayim is a heavenly voice that emanates from Shemayim that not everyone hears. A nevuah is meant to be heard by everyone. You're not heard. Not heard by everyone. No. And the bas kol says, "Al tiri knesses Yisrael. Don't be afraid." So Hashem's voice filled the world with the message, don't be afraid, but you had to be tuned in to hear it. Someone that understood what was going on because he had a penetrating gaze in the dark of Hashem, so he would hear it. You'd hear it. Kadosh Baruch was with us, and they'd see in the events that Kadosh Baruch was with us, and they would hear or see the hand of Hashem in matters. If you do tshuva, the lottery is going to fall on him. This lottery, he's making on you. it's going to fall on him. There was a scribe, his name was Shimshi. According to some versions of Chazal, it was Haman's son. In any case, his name was Shimshi. So he starts throwing down, casting the lots. So they want to know which day is the best, which day of the week, and which month. Sunday, no good. Doesn't work. Because Hashem created the Shemayim and the Eretz on those days. You don't want that. And you're looking at me funny. I'll give you a little explanation. Not very much. Yom Sheni, Monday. No, that's when the firmament was solidified. No good. Yom Shlishi, known as Tuesday. No, Gan Eden was on Yom Shlishi. Yom Revi'i, Wednesday. The sun, the moon, the seven constellations, the 12 signs of the zodiac, they were created on that day. That's not a good day to start up with the Jews. Thursday, Nod, Leviathan was created on that day, the big serpent. Leviathan.
He's against it.
And, no, he's not. Ziz Sadi is the certain kind of bird that's going to be eaten. It's a bird. Ziz Sadi is a certain bird that's going to be eaten in the times of Mashiach. Leviathan is going to be eaten in the times of Mashiach. And they're set aside, they're designated for Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael is going to have a big suda, a banquet, and they're going to eat the Leviathan and the Ziz Sadai, his bird, and the fish. So that's not a good day. Sixth day, now Adam and Chava were created all day. Adam and Chava, you know, they were Jewish. Adam and Chava were Jewish. Shabbos, no, because Shabbos is the sign, the bond between Klal Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu that they're the chosen nation. So forget it. So they couldn't find any day that was better. One was, you know, they were both equally good for Klal Yisrael, so you can't pick one out. Okay, we'll drop the days. Forget the days. Let's do the months. Nisan's no good. They have the Korban Pesach then. Iyar is no good because the Mun came down in Iyar. Sivan's no good. Why is Sivan no good? Sivan. What happened to Sivan? What happened on Zion Sivan? You don't know what happened in Zion Sivan? Nobody knows what happened in Zion Sivan? Mountain Torah, yes. I'm glad you said that. Tammuz is an interesting reason. Because the walls of Yerushalayim were broken in Tammuz, and Hashem is not going to make two bad things happen in one month. It's like we just flipped around now. Tammuz is too bad of a month. Sivan's a good month. Tammuz is so bad that I can't eat. Hamid said Hashem is not going to make two bad things happen in the same month. Av is the same thing. Oh, one second. Av, a lot of good things happen in Av. The people in the Midbar stopped dying in Av. After 40 years in the desert, over a period of 38 years, the entire generation died out except for Kalev and Yeshua. The entire generation died out. So Av is a good month. Actually, they stopped dying in Av. We have a similar question over here that you have by Lag BaOmer. Why is that a good sign? They all died in Av because there was nobody left to die. It's not like they stopped dying in Av. There wasn't anyone left. But the Medrash says it was a good sign. Maybe because Hashem Shechina came back to Klal Yisrael, because as long as the generation of the Meraglim, of the spies, were alive, Hashem Shechina departed from them. They were like in Chirim. So Hashem Shechina came back and spoke to Moshe. That's probably the Simcha. The Simcha is that there's none left. Because now Klal Yisrael could reunite with the Kiddush Baruch Hu. Hashem spoke to Moshe. El is no good. Because that's when we got the second Luchas in El. That's when Moshe Rabbeinu went up to get the second Luchas. He didn't get them in El. He got them when? When did Moshe get the second Luchas? When did he come down with the second Luchas? Yom Kippur. But he went up in El. He went up in El. That's a good month. Tishrei is not good because, hey, Rosh Hashanah is then. Klal Yisrael has no awareness in Tishrei. Cheshvan is no good because Hashem saved Noach in Cheshvan. Mabel. Kislev is no good because the Beis HaMikdash was The work was finished in Kislev, even though we didn't make the Chanukah until Nisan. But the actual work was finished in Kislev, and we had to wait till then. And then Kislev, we had to tell the Kadosh Baruch Hu it's not fair, because you're supposed to have a big inauguration in Kislev, and we didn't. We had to wait till Nisan, and Hashem said, we're waiting till Nisan, because Yitzchak Avinu was born in Nisan. So Kislev said, well, I'd like to have an inauguration nonetheless. And Hashem said, you know what? In the times of Chashmonaim, I'll pay you back, you'll have it then. That's not a good month. Teves is no good, because that's when the war of Nebuchadnezzar over Yerushalayim started in Teves. It's a Sarbat, as an Asarbat Teves. And Hashem is not going to make two bad things happen in the same month. Shvat's no good, because it's the Rosh Hashanah for trees. And from the new fruits, we bring Bikurim. So that's not good. That's not good. So Adar, you know, Adar's the only one left. So when he got to Adar, he was very happy.
Moshe Rabbeinu died.
Yeah, that's a Medrash. What you're saying is a Medrash. The Medrash says that, or the Gemara says that. That he was happy in Adar because that's the month Moshe died, but he didn't know that Moshe was also born.
Wouldn't that be considered what he considers two bad things happening in one month?
Well, you're comparing the Gemara to the Targum Shani for some reason. The Gemara never said two bad things can't happen in one month. The Targum Shani never said that's because Moshe died. So maybe it's a problem, maybe it's not, but it's two different Chazals. So I would say that until you have proof that the Chazals agree with each other, you don't have a problem. Okay. Seder? Tough? Seder. So he's very happy. And the Mazel, the astrological sign that reigns supreme, the constellation that is ascendant in the heavens during the month of Adar, because there's 12 constellations, they go around like a wheel. And, you know, the Mazel of that month is the one that's going up. And the previous month's Mazel is on its way down. It's in the shape of a fish. So that means that month is a good month to trap the B'nai Yisrael like fish, because fish you trap, and I'm going to trap the Jews like fish.
Yeah, but doesn't that go contrary to the bracha in Vayechi?
So he said he didn't know that the children of Yosef are like the fish, and the mazel of fish is good. It's a good sign for the children of Yosef because it's their month. And just to add to the words of the Medrash, Klai Yisrael is all called the children of Yosef. We're called Beis Yosef. There's a pasuk. The pasuk says, "Vahaya base Yaakov lekash, base Yosef lehesh, or base Esav lehava." Something. What? Base Yosef is lehava. Okay. So Vahaya base Esav lekash, base Yaakov leesh, base Yosef lehava. You sure?
Yeah, Yosef.
Okay. I'm sorry if I don't have the pasuk straight. But Klai was called Beis Yosef. So that's according to this Medrash, that was where Haman messed up. He didn't realize it. That being a fish during Adar is a good thing for Klai Yisrael, because Klai Yisrael nymphs the fish. That's the Medrash. Just to give you an idea, some type of understanding in this Medrash. You know, so Hashem made the Shemayim Va'aretz on the first day. Why can't you kill out the B'nai Yisrael? What does one thing have to do with the other? So Hashem made the firmament in the second day. Why can't you kill out the B'nai Yisrael? That's a teretz. And the Raya is from the Leviathan and the Zisadeh. The Medrash says that the fifth day, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the Leviathan and the Zisadeh on that day. And what's the significance of Leviathan and Zisadeh? Hasidim, they're destined, they're mezumanim, and they're prepared. L'chnes Yisrael v'klai shal l'sudas yem ha'gadol, for the suda at the end of days. And the same thing on the third day, Gan Eden was created. And you can compare all the other things that said about the other days to those things. That a day that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created, the things that are destined, you know, the end of all time. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, and the world, he has a master plan. And Klal Yisrael, they figure prominently in his master plan. They're going to fulfill it, and they're going to reach the end. You know, by hook or by crook, they're going to reach the end. And they're going to, whatever that means to be in Gan Eden, or whatever it means to eat from the Leviathan, and the Zisadeh, they're going to be there. So that month is a month which is there's a special opportunity to get there. Which you do it, you say the time has character to it. Time is not just a psychological concept, time has character. The time of Shabbos is appropriate for Menucha. It's a day when when Menucha, it just falls upon us. The Gemara and Dharm use a lashon, cover the light alma. The whole world is heavy on a person on Shabbos. Adar is a time of simcha. The simcha is, you know, just like you could have colors, and you could have a feel to something or an appearance. So time has a nature. But time is real. Hashem created time.
But if they couldn't find a good day on which to do it,
so that means any day is good. That's what the point, you know.
Oh.
He's trying to do the best he can. So any day is good. The Iker is to get the right month. A time, a month, or a day of the week that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created on that day, the Tachlis of the Bria, and part of the Tachlis, and the Tachlis of the Bria was created for Klal Yisrael. So then that time is a time which is going to help the Bnei Yisrael get to that Tachlis. A Russia, he resists it. You know, you have a day. We all know that during a certain Mechuvah, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, we feel very holy. It's very, you know, a person would really have to go out of his way to do an Aver in Yom Kippur. And you don't really feel like doing an Aver. And you know, it's like a nice feeling. And you feel, wow, I feel so good. I don't even feel like doing an Aver. And then you figure the next day is going to be the same. And then the next day we just, you know, we fall back into some form or version of ourselves. Hopefully not as bad as before Yom Kippur. Hopefully we've made progress. That's because Yom Kippur is a zman. When the sun sets, we are going through a doorway and we're going into a place where the time helps us. It's like we get two malachim to lift us up on the day. The time helps us. On Yom Shlishi, it's not a good day to try and destroy the Jewish people because there's forces in creation to help the Jewish people get to their destiny. And the same is true. You know, Shemayim V'Oretz were created Bishvil Yisrael. That's the first Rashi in Chumash. Bereishis means Bishvil Yisrael. Bereishis Baruch Hu came as a Shemayim V'Oretz. Hashem didn't just create the Shemayim V'Oretz. Hashem created Bishvil Yisrael.
So then what did they think would happen if they wiped out the Bnei Yisrael? Then wouldn't they all cease to exist?
This is the one thing that all the Rishayim have. All the Rishayim have, they just have this blind spot. That they're so convinced of their own value to creation. And this is especially true of Amalek, I want to add. Especially true of Amalek. Is that they feel that you need a Klal Yisrael. Hashem needs it. But Kadosh Baruch Hu is so great and big, it doesn't make a difference to him whether we do the Torah or we do the anti-Torah. Because what's the difference? To Hashem, what we do, he doesn't care. Hashem is above. You think Hashem cares if we bring an ox or a pig? They have a certain depth of perception. And the way they understand it is that as long as there's people, that's Hashem's ratzon. So we're going to replace Klal Yisrael. We'll be the new Klal Yisrael. And if you know this, if you're familiar with the slogans and the credos of the Christians, they call themselves the new Israelites. They replaced the Bnei Yisrael. And what we'll get to later, when we talk about the galas, it was 50 amas high, if you remind me, or maybe by some miracle I'll remember, we'll go further on this point. They, you know, to take the, the Rishayim were so suicidal as to take some kind of method of mass destruction to destroy all the people in the world. They just want to Klal Yisrael out, and they're going to be the new Klal Yisrael, and they're going to have their own rules. And a Kadosh Baruch Hu will deal with them, because a Kadosh Baruch Hu will have, Kiviyachol, will have no choice, because they're the only ones left. And they view this as something which, it might not be what Hashem wants, but it's something which Hashem gives them permission to do. Just like Hashem enables a person to do an Avera, so you do Averas, because if God didn't want us to do Averas, He wouldn't let us. So that means that God gives us permission to do it, so we could do it. I mean, it's a certain warped sense of values, but there's a consistency to it. If God allows it, it must be God's will. And they're wrong. God doesn't allow it. He wants them. He lends validity to the perception that He allows it, but He doesn't really allow it. And in the end, they're going to see He doesn't allow it. They think He allows it. He doesn't allow it. You halt. I'll say one. In Megillas Taim, in this pasuk, as a kasha, the words poor and geirol are used in the pasuk. He feel poor, he made it cast a lottery. Who are geirol? It's lots. Why is he switch? Why is the pasuk switch from the word poor to the word geirol? And the second question, he says, why does it say, who ha geirol? It's the lot, lifnei Haman in front of Haman. Why is it important for us to know that it was cast in front of Haman? Just say he cast the lottery.
He rigged it.
Well, he definitely tried, because he kept trying again until he got what he wanted. It's a funny kind of lottery. I don't like this one. Put it in again. He said the word poor has a meaning to it. It means crumble. Hisparus, perurin. Prima. We saw in the Gemara lesson, prima, peresh. Sherish peresh means prima rabba, prima zuta. I don't know if you got that yet. Perurin, right. Perurin kazai. Beautiful. Oh. Kala kavod lakha. So poor means to break apart. He said, you use that lashon when you're trying to use a lottery to break someone apart. Gero means like you're lucky.
Well, they tried that one, didn't
or you got like a portion. Girl. No. So he says, heap of poor is that he casts lots, which is bad for Klal Yisrael. It's going to crumble Klal Yisrael. So he used the word poor because he's going to atomize Klal Yisrael. But who are Gero lifnei Haman? But it's only bad when it's only bad for Klal Yisrael. But who are Gero lifnei Haman? But lifnei Haman, it's a Gero. It's like winning the lottery. It's good for Haman. So Hippo poor is he wants to atomize, he wants to break Klal Yisrael down to their very, you know, small to the smallest particles. Comma, pause, but who ha girl of Haman? But it's a girl in front of Haman. For him it's a girl. For us it's a poor. It's very significant. Mitch, I hope we talk about it sometime in Megillah. You know, we name Purim after the poor. There must be that this is the cardinal axis. This is the axis that everything revolves around. Otherwise, we wouldn't name the Yom Kippur. Okay, guten Shabbos. Have a good Shabbos. We meet again.